This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back, folks. We are talking today about whether or not you've considered emigrating to improve your work-life balance. This is because Randstad have released their Q3 2019 results for Work Monitor, and it says 90% of people polled would relocate for better career progression and a good work-life balance. 90%, folks. So we asked for some feedback. We got some. Arv, you got some more over there?
Yeah, so Dilip says, yes, moved to Malaysia from India decades ago, then lived in the UK for 8 years, came back to Malaysia in 2014, not perfect, but positive in many ways. And then Apala says, 90% say yes.
And Rose says, I was already in overseas and considering staying. It was in UK, Singapore and Australia. But then it comes down to the quality of life. And in all the Afro said, there was some degree of racism as well, which I wasn't prepared to put up with. So I made the right choice. I love Malaysia and my work-life balance and food balance is perfect here. So that's true. Mm-hmm. And then Maggie Best says, had to say bye-bye to the migration dream that I had about 30 years back. I suppose with the passing of time, I kind of like the variety in the multicultural society that Malaysia has to offer. And of course, this is close to idyllic feeling that can only exist as long as we don't have people who rock the boat, like what's happening in so many other parts of the world.
So, very true. Mm. Right. It's a bug's life, ladies and gents.
Yes.
Before we get to that, though, quickly, you have a few minutes left if you still want to contribute. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter, and Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Tell me all about ants, Jeff.
Yeah, so ants, they are notoriously much better at humans at organizing their collective traffic flow when they're hunting for food, and also how they manage to do is actually never really fully understood. Even in dense, crowded conditions, ant colonies, they still somehow manage to maintain a smooth and efficient traffic flow, primarily by just adjusting their behavior to adapt the changing circumstances. And this is according to a new paper in the journal eLife. A textbook example of collective behavior really comes from ants. So a few ants, if you space them well apart, they behave like just individual ants roaming around, walking around, doing their own thing. But when you pack them closely together, they actually behave more like a single unit. But the interesting is they actually exhibit both a solid and also liquid properties. And there have been a number of studies to sort of look into this collective behavior of ants. And in 2008, there was a German scientist. They built a tiny ant motorway in the lab, complete with, you know, highway intersections, and ants got different ways to navigate between their nests and the source of food. And then they monitored just how ants quickly found the shortest possible route between those two. And then you would expect jams to form near the interchanges as they do on human highways, but whenever a route starts to jam up or clog, the ants returning to the nest block the ants that's traveling in the opposite direction, that's forcing them to now then find an alternative route. And then last year, there was a study done in Georgia Tech University that studied how fire ants optimize tunnel digging. And these tunnels, they're very narrow. They're barely enough room for two ants to pass, yet jams rarely happen. So when an ant encounters a tunnel which other ants are already working on, it kind of retreats and then finds another tunnel that has been built. And for this latest study, the scientists from the Research Center of Animal Cognition at the University of Toulouse and also the University of Arizona, they conducted experiments with Argentine ants, and they've connected each ant colony to the food source via bridges. Now, these bridges, they all have different width and they all use different colonies of varying different sizes, and also they use things to better control the density, like the number of insects per unit on the surface. So the scientists then monitored the ant traffic over the course of 170 experiments. They recorded the flow rates, they recorded the ant speeds, and the number of times the ants collided, meaning accidents that you would see on these highways. Mm-hmm. Then the researchers found that the flow of traffic remained smooth and steady even when the bridges were nearly 80% of the capacity. And for comparison, the human pedestrians or drivers and traffic flows, they start to slow down when it's kind of exceeding the 40% of capacity. Mm. So the ants' secret is really just how they self-regulate, how they adapt to rules when things, you know, start to get too crowded. Of course, they are not subjected to the same constraints like we do, which is, you know, traffic rules, and you got to stop at traffic lights and red lights and stuff. And, you know, even if there's no car in sight, you are, you know, you're bounded by the rules, so you will stop anyways. But the difference with ants is they actually share a common goal, the survival of the colony. So they are expected to act cooperatively to optimize the food return. So if they can better regulate their traffic along, you know, all these kind of congested routes, the more efficiently they can bring the food back to the nest, which is their ultimate goal. So that's one reason why if you just widen the highways and have more lanes, it doesn't actually remove traffic congestion, because there's an inherent conflict between the interests of what benefits us and what benefits us as personally, and also what benefits us collectively. So, you know, the lessons learned here actually may not be solving our current issue with traffic jam. It could actually be involved with autonomous vehicles. When you have something that lets us, you know, it sets down the rules that you have no control. The rule is that, you know, we're all going to collectively decide that getting from point A to point B is going to be on this route, and we're going to drive at this speed. Everyone's agreed to that. Then, you know, autonomous vehicles will bound by these rules. Because, you know, we all want to be the first ones home, right?
But they're going to remove the element of selfishness.
Yeah, you know, so it's difficult because, again, everyone has different understanding. You will have some drivers who want to drive at 80 kilometers an hour. You'll have some drivers who want to drive at 20 kilometers an hour. What do you do then, right? And then there's also the, you know, the space of each car and how they drive. And if you look at ants, they're so much more organized. And the reason why they do this is because they all have that one goal. I need to get the food back to my, you know, colony.
Yeah.
I need to do that. So we can't do that because everyone wants to be the first one back home.
Yeah.
And that's understandable. But autonomous vehicles can probably solve that. And we have to be able to build autonomous vehicles and smart cars, smart cities with that concept of how, you know, they have that shared vision.
Spock was right. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Of course, there's one of my favorite comment on the whole list of comments that's below it is, it doesn't seem like an apples-to-apples comparison to compare ants and cars. If you look at people commuting using the subway, walking through tunnels, getting to the connecting subway train, you don't see people walking into each other and causing jams. Everything flows pretty well. It would be more interesting to put the ants in tiny cars and that can go 100 times their walking speed and see if they can self-regulate.
Yeah.
So they are saying that the problem is, if we are walking in a straight line, we wouldn't, like, you know, just stand next to each other and bump into each other and not know what to do. It's because we are in the cars, and then we have rules to follow. Like you said, we have the traffic lights and the junctions, and we are not able to regulate those rules as like a hive mind, like a common mind. So we sort of get stuck in traffic, which is, I think, is what the smart cities are trying to solve.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're supposed to have that uni-mind, uni-traffic sort of solution.
Yeah. I mean, ants have fascinated me for years and years. Years. I used to have an ant colony at home, and, you know, I'd watch them as a kid. And then I moved to Malaysia, and every now and again, when it rains and it gets heavy rain, of course, they come into my house and they take over a part of my house. And I feel bad that I have to get rid of them, you know, because they I just watch what they do, and I'm amazed by how they... Yeah. You get rid of them in one part, they pop up somewhere else. Yeah. You get rid of them there, they pop up somewhere else. I'm like,
resilient.
They are incredibly resilient.
But also, it's not the. It won't be the first time that we followed animals for some of our solutions. Like the bullet train's front looks like the kingfisher beak.
Yeah.
I think what the medical tape follows like the spider's web. And then you have anything sonar is basically dolphins or bats.
Yeah.
It's one or the other. So, you know, we've taken inspiration from animals so many times. If ants can help us solve traffic jams, then help, you know, let them help us solve traffic jams.
There we go. We should, because they're good at it.
Yeah.
Time for us to wrap up, folks. Thanks for feeding back about the question of whether or not you've considered emigrating to improve your work-life balance. 90% of people, according to Randstad, have said they'd relocate for better career progression and a good work-life balance. 90% of folks polled, ladies and gents. That's the story of today. We then moved over to...
Then we spoke about IKEA's smart button and how it hints at a scenes concept.
And then we talked about It's a Bug's Life, how ants are immune to traffic jams.
Don't go anywhere, though. Coming up after the 1 o'clock news, we've got Nicholas McLaren, the country manager from DKSH, who help retail companies grow their businesses and expand into new markets. So when they're doing well, it could be a sign that the retail sector is also flourishing. The Breakfast Grill spoke with DKSH to take the temperature of the retail industry, as well as to get a sense of the company's outlook moving forward, all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Jeff Sandu, Arvind Yuvaraj, and of course our producer Christine Wong. This has been Enterprise Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place, on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.